bridge built by Matthew Yarnold, director of A Soul Like a Bridge built by Matthew Yarnold, tested at A Soul.
I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see.
It looks something like this.
1.21 gigawatts.
What the hell is a gigawatt?
You're listening to the Hashtag Ginning Podcast, brought to you by Auburn University's Samuel Ginn College of Engineering.
Hey, you podcast lover, you. That's right, talking to you from the studio of the best podcast in all of higher education. That'd be the award-winning Hashtag Ginning, brought to you by the Samuel Ginn College of Engineering's Office of Marketing and Communications. Yeah, there's not a S on the marketing.
Stop. Switch that. Reverse.
No. Office of Communications and Marketing.
Isn't that what Willy Wonka says?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Stop that. Reverse it. Yeah. Thank you. Or something. I'm Jeremy Henderson, a communications specialist, quote-unquote, in the aforementioned office, joined as always by my co-host with the co-most, Austin Phillips, looking good. The White Knight, I call him over here. He's got his
quarters. Hey, you.
I thought it'd like to get personal.
I know. You listener.
Matt here as a listener would appreciate that. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We have John Sluice over here on the keys. What kind of sweater is that, John? Telluride. Is that a brand? I meant like material.
I think that's like a peat moss.
Peat moss.
Yeah.
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 No, that looks good. John
Daddy
Sluice
said I need to bring the peat moss to you.
What is that,
though? Andy Griffith, whenever he's judging the pageant.
The peat moss?
And the girl brings in the bag of peat moss.
Oh, okay.
Oh, come on. Have you ever seen the Andy Griffith Show, Jeremy?
Don't even. We're joined today by a very special guest, a loyal listener of the podcast, apparently. You know, we've had a lot of people, a lot of students who have just been absolutely, the cupola tours were terrible, but the podcast really made up for it. That's the reason I'm here, that sort of thing. But no, today we have not just a professor, a director, who says that he's used the valuable tool that this podcast brings to the arsenal of communications for the Samuel Ginn College of Engineering.
It's a good front door.
To prepare him, to kind of get... Did they ever know that? Did you ever tell them that you'd kind of gotten an inside psychological edge by listening to the podcast, man?
No, I did not.
Didn't help. All right, we're talking to Matt Yarnold, Associate Professor, Structural Engineering, and as of January 1st, per the incredible story recently written by Jeremy Henderson, a director of the Auburn University Advanced Structural Engineering Lab.
Yeah, and he took over on January 1st and only took you 2 months to get the story. That's great. Yeah.
I like to let it simmer. you know, I like to.
Hey.
I wanted to see if he was going to last.
You like to let the cement dry.
There you go. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. Matt, can't thank you enough for joining us.
Yes.
And, congrats on the new gig.
Oh, thank Everything. You very much.
That's a $22 million toy box you're playing with over there. I don't know if you know that.
That's one big sandbox.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have one requirement. Keep Jeremy off the wall.
Okay.
That's his goal is to climb the strong wall.
You know what's going to happen.
Because we've said we want to test out how strong this stone strong wall is.
And what I don't want to test out is that geotechnical testing. No. I do not want to fall in that sarlacc. Matt, let's get into a little bit about you. Where'd you come from? I know a lot of inferior institutions. I write the story just as if, like, man, this man's salvation has been found here at the Samuel Ginn College of Engineering, which in a sense it has. I'm going to go ahead and say it. But, yeah, let's talk about your past.
All right, just right before here.
Right before here, where were you?
So I was at Texas A&M right before here.
Ugh.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Pathetic. Okay.
Have they found girl cheerleaders yet? Somebody needs to let them in on this.
All right. Well, Texas A&M. And
Tennessee
then,
Tech.
Yeah, Tennessee Tech before that, yeah.
Tennessee Tech.
Okay. Where do we do our undergrad?
So I did bachelor's, master's at Lehigh, and then I worked for 5 years, and then I did a PhD at Drexel.
Okay.
Ooh.
Lehigh is in?
Bethlehem, PA.
Okay, well, there you go. And Drexel is
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
So both
okay.
in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Okay. Are those Ivy League?
No, I mean, no.
Drexel?
No, Drexel's right next to UPenn, which is Ivy League.
There we go. That's what it is. It's
good basketball schools too, though.
Yeah, pretty good.
Good basketball.
No, they're named. Yeah. They're named institutions. Don't get me wrong. Well, where are you from originally?
So I was from New Jersey.
Okay.
I couldn't have picked that up.
Mm-mm. Keep talking.
we need to introduce you to Josie in our office. Oh, she's 100% Josie.
It's terrible. She's the worst. So what got you into engineering?
Especially civil, too.
Civil, I don't know. It was just structural. I was into bridges. That's the bridge structure has been my area of interest. And I was one of the rare people that knew out of high school that I wanted to do structure. So Lehigh is known for civil engineering. And, you know, that's where I want to be. Plus, I was I wanted to play college baseball and got recruited there. So
really?
There we go.
So I went to Lehigh for
Diamond
both.
Dan? Really? What position were you playing?
Mostly catcher.
See, most of the professors are just nerds. You know what I mean? They're not athletes. So this is kind of cool.
This is.
Sheesh. Yeah, because this is a baseball boy over here.
Played a little ball back in the day. Old 23. Might have seen him in the newspaper.
I was also number 23.
Hey, are you kidding me? Hey, I think Michael Jordan picked that after us.
Jeez.
I think he did.
Yeah, no.
But I was no catcher. Now, my dad was a catcher. Knees, no. How the knees holding up?
It's okay.
Is it?
It's just not bad. I mean, could be better, but I still get around.
So mine was, I played first base.
Oh, okay.
And mine is on my left hand, I'm right-handed, so my middle finger, index finger, and thumb, all the muscle around that, the blood vessels are just crushed. So I'm sure you probably have some of that too.
And,
cold day, these things go numb like crazy.
Yeah.
Man, I'm glad I stuck to Contra.
Jer, I would have given about anything to watch you catch a high school game.
Hey, I was a catcher. I was a Hoover All-Star. I don't know why it was Hoover, but they put me over there.
Yeah.
Cahaba Heights, Hoover. I played it. I made the circuit. Well, let's see. So when you say into bridges, though, I mean, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, did you win the toothpick bridge contest like in middle school or something?
I don't know. It was just something I enjoyed.
Like every time you drove over a bridge, you're just like,
I found it fascinating. And then just structures in general. And I don't know. I was always strong in math and science. So then the teachers were kind of like, you should go into engineering. And then I looked at what discipline and structures was kind of what I gravitated towards. I don't know. All the other ones just didn't do it for me. So
Lincoln Logs.
Yeah. That kind of just like building things. And I don't know. It was easy for me where most kids come out of high school and they kind of go into college and they're trying to find their path. But yeah, I was pretty lucky that way.
See, it's funny because here is at Auburn's unique place. You know, you've got I forget what the names of the groups, like your Grease, like they're fighting back and forth. Fighting.
Sharks and Jets.
Yeah, you've got your concrete folks, and then you got your asphalt people here at Auburn. So it's pretty intense. I once saw Robbie Barnes, I think, almost stab somebody over it. But
Bowers he walks out bruised at least once a day.
What were we doing at Texas A&M?
I was assistant professor.
Assistant professor, okay.
Yeah, so I and actually in 2017 when I took that job, I actually interviewed here as well.
Really?
I was at Tennessee Tech for a while and then just threw my hand in the ring for a few positions.
Podcast wasn't around then.
You must have blown it.
But yeah, I was assistant professor, you know, doing what I'm doing now, just lower role.
Hear about this, what made you say, okay, I need to try that again?
Well, so yeah, I wasn't actually applying to leave. You know, I was pretty happy. And then there was a recruiting firm that, you know, kind of contacted me. And I don't know, I just couldn't delete the email. I had a good experience in 2017.
You were headhunted?
So, yeah, just...
how cool.
Yeah, it was interesting and just couldn't delete that email. And then finally said, you know, I'll just submit something and see what happens. You know, you never know. And, you know, long story short, here I am. So,
Well, had you heard about ASEL, as they're calling it? ASEL, I mean, was that... or did that email clue you into the big moves Auburn was trying to make
and what part did they end up playing in seeing this facility?
No, it was a big part. Yeah, because it wasn't here in 2017 obviously. I interviewed, it wasn't here, and there was talk I think at that time of a new facility, but still it was nothing concrete at that point. So I had heard that a new lab came, but I didn't know any of the details. So then, you know, during that process, obviously, they filled me in on all the $22 million and all the, you know, capabilities. And so, it was that was a huge part of the move for sure.
You know, I'll say that's another credit to our interim dean, Dr. Taylor, and then our new president, Dr. Roberts, of thinking big, thinking outside the box. You know, I remember those early conversations of, hey, our structures lab in Harbert is just not big enough. You know, we can't get trucks in there. We can't get anything large in there. If you've ever even just had to turn around your car, and I drive a Sentra, it's hard enough to turn around right there. So we were exploring this, and actually a previous presidential administration had challenged to send some proposals of things that can really change this region, state. And we put in a proposal to the state, and state funded, you know, a large portion of that facility. And it came up really quick. Mm. And you talk about a game changer. I know that they looked at Purdue, and we looked at a couple other places to kind of take some of the jewels from each one of those. But as Jeremy joked, that geotechnical chamber is, you know, what a great asset. What does that do for you, and where we need to go in the terms of the research that we're doing? Not only just the facility, but having a key little gym like that geotech chamber on campus. And then that there are several structures labs that have those chambers, but they're not in the facility.
Yeah.
So having that all encompassing, what does that do for you, and what does that do for us here at Auburn in terms of where we want to go on research?
Yeah. So it's a separator for sure. I mean, I sort of jokingly say to the, I do a lot of tours now to, you know, new prospects, you know, whether it be, you know, people who are looking to future research or potential students, give them a tour of a facility. And I talk about how it's called the advanced structural engineering, but it's actually structural and geotech, because the most unique piece is that chamber.
Right.
And I'm a structural engineer. I don't do a lot of geotech related research. But that's my understanding, it's the biggest built within a strong floor in the country. Yep. So it's kind of interesting that that's the unique aspect, is the fact that the geotechnical part of it, but the whole facility, I mean, is first rate. And but that, like you pointed out, is a big asset for sure. And I think if you talk to Dr. Anderson and several of our, you know, geotech faculty, there's probably like a 2-year backlog of research on just the chamber. So it's already starting to fill up, which is really great, because I'm, you know, kind of trying best I can to get that facility full with a backlog is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
So, man, it's come along well, but that is the kind of the highest coveted piece of the facility for sure.
Well, and you talk about the tours, of leading tours. I can't tell you how many grad students that we've had on here who, I mean, that was it. Took the tour, and that sold them. So those little tours that are taking your time out of your day, there's a good chance you're getting a phenomenal grad student coming in on that.
Well, and then there's been some big projects too that have come down kind of like, well, where are we going to get this stuff done? And you know, we can't talk about all of them, but Matt here told me that
we can't talk about all the good, the good ones, but the really crazy stuff is
exactly. And I want to go for the jugular so bad.
I know, Jeremy, you know, but
just denigrate the competition. And
you're fighting employment every single day,
yes,
so let's just
absolutely
just keep those in our back pocket.
Speaking of, I mean, you have the keys to the place.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like a double, you know, to turn your key at the same time to get it. Like, you could go up there and have like a party or something. Because that'd be a pretty bang hammer place for it.
Yeah. You know, our former director of our structure
throws birthday bash in geotechnical test chamber. Yeah. Matt Yarnold and the Chamber of Pink Slips. Yeah.
Secrets.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, moving here, yeah. What are we? We're 4 months into it.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, so how has it been? I guess the transition. You got to shake a lot of hands. You could be on podcasts, picture taken. So has it been a good experience far?
It's been great. Yeah. No buyer's remorse.
Any challenges?
No. I mean, it's a lot just transitioning, you know, projects and students, because I'm still sort of remotely advising some students. I had one PhD student who came with me. But so there's a lot of that kind of cleanup, you know, when you're transitioning institutions. But yeah, the facility's great. I've been fortunate enough to get a bunch of projects funded already. And, you know, and one of them, the feedback was such that it was the facility that really did it. So that was really exciting right out of the box to get a project that the facility was one of the big selling points where we chose you over a series of other big, you know, institutions in the country. So it's been pretty exciting from that regard.
So what's an average day like?
Oh, for me? So I start pretty early. Drop the kids off at school, and then they're around 7:45. Mostly right now, it's office-based work. I don't, you know, I'm getting projects into the lab because it's a new facility. I've been focusing on the really exciting stuff, like, you know, safety procedures.
Well,
and
we took
financial
a picture of you with the hard hat on.
Yeah, there you go. But so we have a lot of projects, at least mine, because there's several that are in the lab, but we'll be in there in the summer and forward. So I'll spend more time in the actual high bay Working with students, I think, start of the summer. But it's been mostly office, and that is a wonderful part of the facility is the administrative wing, too. So not a lot of these facilities have a nice space like that. So it's still a great day, even if you're just spending in the office out there, honestly.
What I love about the administrative part is the wood.
Yeah.
You know, you look at that facility, and here were structures. And, I mean, it's concrete, it's wood. I mean, we're using every material that we can to fill this facility.
Yeah, and that's kind of intentional from what I heard before.
Yes, it is.
All materials are represented. And, yeah, it's a beautiful kind of like timber-steel blend in the administrative wing, so it's great. And we got 24 grad student desks that are full. We actually have a waiting list of students really want to work out there. And you know, a lot of the offices for the faculty are constantly being utilized, so it's great that it's a place that people want to work. You know what I mean? Some of these facilities are kind of remote, and students don't really want to travel out there, but here we have students that want to be out there, and that's great. You know, it's kind of an active facility. Well, so it's fun.
You know, when this building came online, our alums, our corporate partners, I mean, they attached themselves to it. It was just like when we had Brown Copal come up, you know, everybody's jealous that it wasn't here when they were here. But, you know, Vulcan Materials, Jeff, Linda Stone, Melissa Hurt, you can't have a better name than she has on the crane.
Yeah.
Dale York. I mean, we've just got lineup of people who are willing and corporations that are willing to support this laboratory. So, and that's going to continue.
Yeah.
It's a big responsibility, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying there's a lot.
Pressure.
I'd be sweating a little bit more.
Don't screw this up, man.
do not screw this up. Professor-wise, is there one in particular whose research I guess that this facility is best geared toward? Is there one that if you were that professor and just being like, oh my gosh, like look at this place, maybe I'm thinking about it the wrong way?
I
don't know. I think
some of what he said, you know, like Brian, I mean, some of the geotech folks, I mean, their work.
What's nice about the facility is you have the another aspect is a concrete section. If you've been in the back of the facility, Anton Schindler, it's a beautiful concrete materials lab. So it's perfect for him and several others. Dr. Barnes, like you said, but then you got Dr. Anderson. You got several geotech for the chamber, and then structures folks like me. I know Dr. Center has a ton of projects. Dr. Rouge, who you had was on one of the first podcasts.
The first.
You know? So I heard
Rouge dog.
So you got. I mean, and I'm probably
Matt's done his homework.
I know.
No way he got the job.
I know he has done his homework.
But so it's you know. It's flexible enough facility that a lot of the faculty you're making use of it already. And we're trying to expand, you know, even outside of civil. So we're looking,
outside
whether it be mechanical,
civil?
Aerospace, like if people want to, you know, test something at full scale, we're open to it. So we're trying to expand a little. But it's early. You know, I've only been here a little while. But our sort of mission is trying to be broader than just straight civil structural or civil geotech. So
I want him to get to the point to where with his grad students, like he's able to look all the way across the lab and be like, and give hand signals he was calling pitches.
Yeah.
And them sit there and just either wave it off or got you, Matt.
Yeah, there's a lot of room to work with in there.
There is.
For pitching. Yeah. Man, I tell you what, that'd be something fun.
Oh, well, just the headlines and the leads that we could put on the story. That's what I'm salivating.
Get Butch and the boys in there. See what happens. Matt, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us. You know, out of your busy schedule, just fulfilling this vision.
Well, and welcome to Auburn, man.
And that
thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. You got an Auburn vibe to you.
Listen, if you survived old Aggie land, this is a breeze.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I don't know.
We will never wake you up at midnight and yell at you. Just sleep on through it.
Yeah, what a nightmare. Anyway, congrats.
But we do close this podcast out with something every time. We're going to need you to practice with it. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
War Eagle.
There we go.
You're listening to the #Getting Podcast, brought to you by Auburn University's Samuel Ginn College of Engineering.